Well, you'll have heard in the news and on the radio all about the planned increase to national insurance. I thought we'd get some expert opinion on that today. I also thought we'd get a bit more information about some stuff that the government seems to have snuck out under the wire on us while we weren't looking. I'm joined on the line by Sarah Tucker from CKLG. Sarah, hi.
Hello, good morning.
Morning. Let's start first of all with this national insurance then. I mean, one of my friends pointing out on LinkedIn, he said, they talk about it being a 1.25% increase. He said it's not, it's a 1.25 point increase. It's actually over 10% increase in national insurance. Is that right?
Well, crikey, I almost wouldn't want to comment about that, Neil. We'll just have to go with, you know, what we've been told by dear Boris and his merry men. But yeah, I mean, yesterday, you know, it wasn't a total surprise because, of course, the press had got hold of it, as they always do, you know, before Boris and his crew stand up. What was a surprise about it? It was a Tuesday. It was a lovely sunny day yesterday. We normally have budgets once a year. We have an autumn statement as well. In fact, the last budget we had was March. That was deferred because of COVID. And all of a sudden, on this sunny day, on a Tuesday in September, it is announced that Boris and his merry men are breaking two of their election manifestos in that they're going to raise taxes. They're going to put 1.25% on national insurance from next April. And the state pension, the triple lock is disappearing. It's now going to be a double lock. So pensioners will only see their pension rise by the higher of inflation or 2.5%. There's two manifesto pledges that were broken, but let's face it, when Boris stood up 2 years ago and won the election, he had absolutely no idea about COVID, the pandemic, the effects of it, and how it would absolutely take us all. We all know that there is a social care crisis, and as a result of COVID there's a terrific NHS backlog, so it seems absolutely fair. Doing it across national insurance as well, actually, is, you know, that means that employers, the self-employed are going to pay, and also working pensioners for the first time in probably ever are going to pay national insurance and what they earn. Whereas normally, if you're over state pension age, you don't pay national insurance on your earnings. So it seems fair that everybody's going to pay, contribute towards this. And also they've introduced an increase in the dividend tax of 1.25% as well from April 2022. And I think that is absolutely fair as well. Funnily enough, it's going to be rebranded, this health and social care levy, from April 2023. And what we will see in our payslips is an extra deduction, an extra line in the deductions box called this health and social care levy. So it is what it is. We don't know at this stage when there is going to be another budget. All we do know is that the Chancellor is going to stand up at the end of October to deliver his update on the nation's finances, the economy and the government spending plans. But we don't know whether there's going to be a budget on the same day. But it strikes me they don't need to have a budget day these days, because these things just get snuck in.
Presumably, you said there about that being an extra line on your payslip and it being marked out as this separate levy. That presumably does mean that in years to come, they can scrap it. And it'll be quite a thing. Oh, you had this line on your payslip, but we've taken it. Rather than just reducing national insurance back down, you can actually say we're going to scrap this.
Who knows what future governments will do, Neil? But I think actually it's almost a way of making sure what's collected under this new levy is ring-fenced for what it was intended for, right, and doesn't get lost into the mire. Because that's the difficult challenge, actually, because at the moment, you know, it is going to be just an increase in national insurance. And where do our national insurance contributions go? It is initially planned to help the NHS clear that backlog. But it's also going to be there for, you know, for social care. We always think of social care, being care home fees, et cetera, et cetera. But it is incident. There's sadly, you know, a fair few physically, mentally disabled individuals that are so much younger, or if you're inflicted by, you know, illness when you're much younger, that you do need to tap into this care system.
Yeah.
So, it's we can't just think about care home. It's help for the care system, across the board. So, who knows what future, to answer your question, who knows what future governments will do? But I almost sort of feel actually that, by introducing this new levy, you're actually putting a line in the sand, and it is there, and they know it has to be dealt with. And even previous governments before, our current government always knew there was a problem. So I suspect it's something we might live with for a long time.
All right. Okay. Now, while we were all sitting there, fair enough, and while we were all sat there wailing in disbelief, arms in the air, something else got snuck out under the wire, which you're more concerned about in some ways.
Well, it did actually. And it was, we all know that the government have a nice long summer break, which we're all trying to have, some time off over the summer. But in July, what they issued was a consultation paper which proposes to change the way unincorporated businesses, so that's sole traders, partnerships, or even trusts that are trading or executors that carry on trading after somebody's died, that this paper is proposing to change the way that those people pay tax on their profits. Now, currently, we all draw up accounts to a certain accounting date, and that accounting date is determined actually primarily based on for commercial reasons. Often clients will choose an accounting date because of seasonal fluctuations in their trade, and that it's not aligned with the end of the tax year. And at the moment, it is your accounting date that falls into the tax year that those profits get taxed on. So, for example, if you draw your accounts up to the end of June, So if you've just June 2021 accounts will form the basis of your tax return for 2020, 21, 22. What the government are proposing to do is basically charge you tax on the profits that you generate in a tax year. And what they want to do is they want to bring in that there's this new transition. They're going to have a transitional period, which could start in as early as 6 months' time from next April, where they're going to tax profits generated from April 2022 to April 2023. So there could be quite a bunching of year ends that fall into that accounting period. So it could be up to 21 months of profit that might be taxed in effectively 2022-23.
Crikey.
Which is an awful lot. Now, if you do operate a year end, say 30th of April, this will be you. But by operating a year end like that, you will have what we call overlap profits, which would have been a duplication of profits being taxed when you started your business years ago. You'll be able to now deduct those from the excess profits that are going to be taxed in 2022-23. So there will be some help. And also what the government have said, or what the government are proposing, I should say, is that any excess profits, even after that deduction, that don't look right, or if things look distorted in 2022-23, then they're going to spread those over five tax years. But what that does mean by doing that is that might affect your income tax rates, maybe your claim for child benefit, all those sorts of things. The reason why they've done it, I think, is to actually accelerate making tax digital.
Right.
Which is due to come in from April 2023. But by introducing this transitional year from April 2022, what they're doing is effectively taxing the profits on a tax year basis. So we're going to see tax bills accelerated as a result of this. This is the message that we need to get across. So what we intend to speak to our clients about is possibly changing their accounting date to and aligning it with the end of the tax year, so 5th of April, 31st of March. And also maybe talk to them about when they're spending out on capital items as well, that obviously provide tax relief, the timing of those capital items, larger deductions that can relieve your tax bill. The reason why we think about maybe changing your accounting date is that under Making Tax Digital, which comes in April 2023, for individuals and landlords that earn income from property, gross income from property in excess of 10,000 a year, we're all going to have to do this new digital reporting on a quarterly basis, and then a mop-up one at the end of the year to look at your total income for the year. But if you've got a different accounting date other than 31st of March, 4th or 5th of April, you're going to be doing potentially two lots of quarterly reporting. So instead of having four returns plus an end of year return, you could potentially have about nine returns.
Oh my goodness.
So just think of the administration and the headache over all of that.
But this then is something that needs to be done now, because often there is a deadline and you need to be talking about this and making changes now, presumably.
You do, but I think we can hang off. At the moment, this is only being consulted on, this proposed change, because if you think about it, small businesses have had a really rough time over the last 18 months or so with COVID. We've still got some COVID support out there in the form of the SEISS grant, in the form of the furlough scheme. They both end at the end of September. There's still a reduced rate of VAT for hospitality business and tourist business until next spring. And so, you know, the government recognised that we are still struggling, or, you know, we're getting back on our feet slowly, but it is coming. But to suddenly introduce all these changes in the next 6 months would be quite catastrophic. And it's already hard for everybody to get their head around Making Tax Digital. It's kind of okay if you're VAT registered, because you're having to submit quarterly returns anyway. So you're kind of, you've got that mindset in there. But actually, for those that don't, so for, you know, if you've got somebody maybe that's running, you know, a small self-employed software consultancy business where you're earning, I don't know, say maybe 30, 40,000 a year, you're not VAT registered, you don't need to be. But you've also got a buy-to-let as well that's bringing you in £15,000 worth of gross income a year. Then, you know, this is a whole new system for those sorts of people to get their head round. So we're going to start to talk to our clients that fall into that category about Making Tax Digital, getting themselves organised, potentially changing their accounting date to make the reporting more streamlined, especially if the government introduce this change of basis period taxation for those that are self-employed. It is only a consultation at the moment, and maybe we'll hear more at the end of October. But I have to say, I can see it coming in, because that's what the taxpayer wants, the tax man actually wants to do. Mm-hmm. You know, he wants the taxpayer to pay tax on their profits real time. Yeah. You earn your profits, you pay your tax.
Yeah.
So let's simplify it. So I think, you know, thinking long term, actually, all this does make sense, but there's a lot to get your head round in the next few months after coming through a very difficult period.
Oh my goodness me. The answer is always talk to your accountant. Sarah, this is thanks for this. I love talking to you. It's always a little bag of surprises when we talk. More to think about. Okay. It's all we'll pick up on this obviously over the coming months. For now, Sarah Tucker from CKLG. Thanks ever so much for talking to us.
Thank you.